Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase. We now turn things over to the ice. It's cold there. Sticks and blades and helmets. Reloads. Hal Gill. He reloads and fires it on net, a.k.a. Skillsy. Hal, what's up?
What's going on? Thanks for having me here today.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. How was your Thanksgiving and your weekend? I know you had a couple road hockey games, but now that you're back, a little bit lighter week to start off the month of December. How was everything?
Yeah, a little different. I blew it out for Thanksgiving, and then we're on the road, and then I get home, and all of a sudden it's Christmas, and I'm over at Cheekwood walking around in the cold, and it was a pretty good weekend I had.
Yeah. I even saw somebody tweet out something about, are you doing something here soon at Tin Roof? Are we allowed to say that? It was tweeted out, so I figured we were allowed to say it. No? Want to help you with promotion?
Puck Talk Live.
Yeah.
We're doing that. It's a busy Thursday coming up. We got Preds and Pins, and then right after that I'm going to shoot down and talk some hockey. It's going to be fun. Katie Caldwell is going to be there and going to take us through a little chat. Ryan Johansson, a long list of other media from Nashville going to be talking some hockey.
All right. Sounds like a lot of fun. Thursday is going to be a busy, busy night. NASCAR Awards is here.
Yep.
We've got our Christmas party, Cromwell.
Yep.
And like you said, Preds and Pens, and a lot of stuff going on Thursday night. All right. So what the road trip, shutout in Carolina, get shutout in Sunrise. So 2 months are now completed and in the books. What do you think the Predators need to do moving forward to kind of get a little bit more consistency, which is what they're looking for?
Oh, man, I don't know. It was talk about a spirited, high-energy game, grinding down in Carolina, and then just kind of a blah, boring game in Florida. It really wasn't much going on after the first period. It was dead, and they just never could get any life. And then, Florida, to their credit, played a good, sound game, good defensively, and didn't give the Preds much, and then turned it around and got some goals. I think their big players played pretty big, and they found a way to get the win. So I don't know what happened with the Preds. It's just, first back-to-back, and maybe they weren't used to it. They were just drained after Thanksgiving and a big win in Carolina, and then it's kind of a letdown performance, in my opinion.
Well, the penalty kill has looked better of late, but now I feel like we've had this conversation with David Poyle, and he's the one who used the reference, and I always get a chuckle out of it because I can certainly, everybody can relate who's had a leak, right? You fix the one leak, and then it starts another one over there. So the penalty kill feels like that leak has been patched for a bit, and then the power play. They got to get that going again. I think it's been two power play goals in the last 10 games, so they need to get that because it was going at a pretty steady clip, and then it's kind of disappeared.
Yeah, and it could be a chance for the power play to step up and win games. I really couldn't care less about percentages. If you get a 0-0 game and you get a power play and you score a goal and it gets you that first goal, it gets you that first goal, it's huge. I don't care if you go 1-for-10 in that game. If you get that lead on the first power play, or if you finish a game and get the game-winning goal on a power play, that's when it really matters, and that's where I feel like they're doing all the right things. I talked to Nick Bonino about it, and they changed it up. It's a more of a 2-3 spread that they've switched to, just because I think Carolina was aggressive, so they switched to that, and they had some plays that they could have ran out of that setup, but then they just kind of rushed it at the last second and really didn't finish off the plays. It looks like it's there. It just hasn't come around to score goals. And that ultimately, who cares what you do? You can look pretty if you want, but you want to score goals is what it's all about.
And Hal, that was an interesting moment. If you didn't see the game on Saturday, it's sort of a low event game. You and I were chatting in the first intermission where very little happened for either team. It just looked like it was going to settle into that type of game, even though Florida has played completely different than that. And so they're down 1-0, and they had the 5-on-3. I think that's the example you're talking about, right? You have that's where
exactly
a timely power play goal could have made all the difference.
Yeah, we were joking that that game was sponsored by Ambien in the first period. And then, you have that 5-on-3 for 30 seconds and really didn't get the look you were looking for. It was a quick try on the back door. It wasn't usually you see a set play and you're waiting for that big, the big play that's going to, exchange from a D and a forward. And I think they have those. I feel like for whatever reason, they get that set up and they rush it a little bit and then they don't let it go. They don't get it. And it's frustrating for them, I think, just as much as it is for everyone else, because I think they have all these things. They obviously work on it and they've set up a new system. And so the other team can't scout it, like Florida wasn't really sure what they were going to see because they saw a different power play in Carolina than they've seen the whole year. And then, that's your chance to jump on them and give them a little bit of a surprise. And it didn't work. And it's kind of disappointing because I think that first goal maybe sets that trend in motion where Florida was giving up four goals and getting four goals. I think that could have triggered it and got that team to get a little bit flustered and give up some shots.
Overall, do you see that the team is making strides in their defensive game in terms of how many chances they're allowing per game?
I think they've looked good. They're playing. It's hard to play a man-to-man defense if you don't get that first pin, and that's where I think especially the top three in Ekholm, Yossi, and Ellis are so good at getting that first stop, getting the puck, and disrupting the play, and then you can kind of collapse around. And so they were exposed a little bit with that man-to-man early on. And then as the season's gone on, and I think in the last spell, against St. Louis, certainly they were bigger and stronger and supported each other more. And I feel like they got those stops quicker, and they were able to close around. You look at the way Nick Bonino plays, the way he backs up and is playing a man-to-man, but really intent on giving another layer of defense. And, the way he plays, it looks good. And I think the team has kind of followed suit with the way he does it. So I think they've been better. It's not perfect, but it's a lot better than it was certainly when they were on that losing skid. I think that's something that they're going to have to keep working on, but it has looked certainly much better.
Talking to Hal Gill, radio analyst and my co-host for Smashville Live Wednesday nights, of course, at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. So, Hal, according to...
That's a good one, by the way. That's a good one coming up.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Austin Watson, Ryan Ellis.
Ellis and Watson. Oof.
You can tell stories about Ryan Ellis from, his baby days when he didn't have the beard.
Yeah, and he never said a thing in the locker room. And now he talks. But
now look at him. Look at him now.
He would just sit there and listen. Just a young kid. Man,
all grown awesome. Up.
Yep, he sure is.
So, Hal, according to Adam Vingan from The Athletic, he put the lines out from practice today. Forsberg, Johansson, Duchesne, Yarncroke, Turris, and Mikhail Granlund. So, according to this, it looks like, at least for practice, Kyle Turris in there centering that second line has been out as a healthy scratch the last handful of games. What do you think that does to the Predators' offense to potentially have Kyle Turris back in there?
I think I think that's going to be big for Kyle. I think it's time. You have to – being a business, it's so hard to handle these situations. You can't just not include someone on your team. You're paying them $6 million. You have to play him. He's got to be – showcased. If he's not going to be part of this team going down the road, he's going to want to play somewhere, and he has to be able to, people have to see him. No one's going to trade for and pay $6 million for someone that isn't playing. You have to show that he's healthy, that he can play. I think he showed that earlier in the season. He had a skid where he was less than good, but let's face it, the whole team was less than good. I think if you can get him going a little bit, then if you don't feel like he's the right fit for the team, then you can try to actively trade him or move him. But you have to give him a chance. I'm sure he's ecstatic and so fired up to to be considered back in the lineup, because I've been in his shoes and it's a miserable existence, and it doesn't go away from you. It's not something that, hey, I just had a bad day at work, I'm going to go home and forget about it. It sits with you and it rides you all night, and you wake up in the morning and you think it's the nightmare is over, but then all of a sudden you're back in it, and it can ruin your life. So I'd be happy to see him back in the lineup and playing, because I think he can provide some offense for this team, especially after that last game where they just couldn't get anything going. It's easy to say you have to go work harder and do it, but Kyle's a guy that can make plays. He doesn't have to work at it. If he gets some confidence and gets feeling good, he's just going to make plays for you. So it'll be good if he gets in the lineup, I think.
Hal, look, I understand that it's tough with the way this roster is set up, that you almost have a good problem that you have so many players that you can slot in only so many spots. The talk was had during training camp. They tried it of playing him on the wing. Explain how difficult it is, though, if you've never played a certain position, to just all of a sudden try and transition. I mean, we saw it trying to move Craig Smith to his off wing. It's not as easy as everybody makes it out to be.
Yeah, some guys can go and do it. You know, there's certain things that are easier. There's certain things that are harder. In the end, it is a different position. I was a left defenseman, and I maybe played 10 periods over my career on the right side. It just didn't fit for me, and I felt like a fish out of water. And there's a lot of things that go into it, and there's some things that I was better at on the right side, but it just, you know, if you look at everything as a center going to the wing, to the boards, you're packed in on the board. You have to win battles on the board. You have to be able to dig pucks out while being smashed against the glass. I think Kyle's a guy that likes to hover around the pile and pull pucks loose and move it and then support the attack through the middle. I don't think he necessarily wants to be on the boards and closed off where he doesn't have options left and right. So there's a lot of different things. And then, you know, defensively, it's a lot to ask of a guy to go and battle pucks out. And I just don't think he's the size strength guy that you want. There's other options. And I think that's one of the reasons why Carr was brought up, is to play those battles on the boards and make sure they could move zones. And so I think it's a smart move to have Kyle play that center position. It kind of throws everything out of whack. You know, you end up putting Duchesne on the wing. Does he really want to be there? Well, you know, what's the worst? Is leaving Turris out of the lineup, or is it having another guy move to another spot?
Next up for the Predators will be the Tampa Bay Lightning, a team they own. They own the Lightning, 13-3 in the last 16.
When they buy him?
Well, they own him on the ice.
Hey-o.
13-3.
Thank you, Hal.
In the last 16. How about that? Against the Lightning. Pretty impressive. Hal, really appreciate it. That was an impressive interview. Good work by you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you.
One.
You do the same. That's Skillsy. Hal Gill. We'll come back more on the other side. We'll talk a little bit more about the matchup and the Predators on the ice. We'll do that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.